And how can I talk to God? How would I talk to God? How would I have a conversation with God? I like to really tune in to my divine self and tune in to who I am and what I am. And as I like to tune into it, I like to talk to God. I like to talk to God and say, "Hi, God. I love you." And God looks at me and in my heart and in my life and in my way, and he says, "Good morning, Herb. How are you?" "Well, God, I feel just so wonderful. And especially wonderful because I'm talking with you. Every time I take time to sit down and talk with you quietly, every time I leave all of my busy life and just take time to sit down and talk with you, I feel so good. I feel so wonderful, so fantastic. I feel like I could climb any mountain effortlessly. I could do anything." Well, Herb, that's a good way to do it. That's a good way to feel. Good way to be. But you know, Herb, you use the term climb any mountain. Why do you want to climb a mountain? Well, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm alert. I'm enthusiastic about life. I enjoy participating in the body's activity on this earth that I created. Oh, you know you created it, huh? Now, Herb, since you created it, yes, God, I did. Since you created it, how did you create it? What do you mean, how did I create it? Well, what is the result of your creation? Well, the result of my creation is a world that is filled with harmony and peace and love and good and everything. Okay, now, that's all well and good. Now, Herb, just as a little test you give yourself now and then, you live in a human body. You say your body is human. Okay. Have you ever said to yourself, "I am the master of my body"? And you are, you know. You're creating the body exactly the way you want it to be. Now, did you ever say, "I am the master of my body"? Yes, God, I say that all the time. And did you ever say to yourself, "My, this is hot weather. Steamy hot weather. Very uncomfortable. Steamy hot weather." Oh, yeah, I say that often. Well, do you like that? Well, it's just an is, just something that I experience, that I live with. Do you like it? Well, it's just something that's there. Do you like it? Well, no. What would you like? I would like weather that is comfortable all the time. Herb, why would you like weather that is comfortable all the time? Well, because then I'd be comfortable. Oh, where did that "then I would be comfortable" come from? Do you mean that the outer activity of your creation controls how you feel? Well, of course. Doesn't it do that for everybody? Well, it does it for people who don't recognize that they are God, that they're the creator of their world. Well, God, don't you get disturbed by the temperature of the things around you, and when it's cold or warm or wet or rainy or whatever? Don't you get disturbed by that? Herb, how silly you are. Of course not. I create warm weather to allow plants to grow. I create rainy weather to nourish them and encourage them. And I create lots of rainy weather when people say, "Oh, it's raining so hard." And I create little raining weather when people say, "It's raining just perfect." God, you get your nose in people's business like that? No, no. I am God, You are God. All is God. People create that, and they, as God, are creating it. Now, Herb, you live in a body, and you think that's fun. And I, your creator, and I am also you, I don't live in a body. I live in the universal. But if I were to live in a body, I would choose to live in a body which I would say is immune to any experience that I did not choose to have it have. If I live in a body and am living in a body, I would say the temperature is ideal. But when it's so hot, I would say the temperature is ideal. Well, that is, when it's so hot, it's not pleasant to live in that body. I live in an ideal body, in an ideal temperature. Now, I can wear the same clothing in hot areas that I wear in cold areas. I can walk through snow drifts and snow fields as well as the heated desert and feel absolutely no difference in temperature. No difference whatsoever. How can you do that? Because I speak my word and I say, I am the pure white light of love. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. I am surrounded by all that is good, and I choose it to be ideal. But you see, I step out of my human body. I step out of my human awareness, that human game. And when I step out of it, there is no temperature. There is no environment. There is nothing in the outer that affects me. Oh, God, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a wonderful thing to be able to do, to be untouched by human experiences. I'm not untouched by human experiences. Well, you're not bothered by them. I am not touched by them. I'm not bothered by them. They do not exist for me in absolute consciousness. Well, they do for me. Yes, that's right. They do for you because you say you live in a relative world with a relative consciousness, with relative conditions that touch you. I am untouched by anything. I am untouched by even my own thoughts, because my thoughts are merely an expression of that which already exists in its ideal form. My thoughts are only an expression of that which already exists in its ideal form. Wow, isn't that great? Yes, I like that too. How do I exercise that for myself, God? How do I bring that forth in my world? I'd love to bring that forth in my world. How do I do that? Well, you don't do that. You don't think of yourself as being in a relative body. You don't think of yourself as being human. You don't think of yourself as anything but being God. And when you are God, you are all. And when you are God, you're touched by nothing. You have no sensations. You have no outer physical body that responds to anything. You have no outer mental body that responds to anything. You have no outer spiritual body that responds. You are just, not just, but you are one. You are the all. You are the is, and you are the totality. Oh, God. That sounds interesting, but wouldn't I miss being human and having my emotions? Wouldn't I miss having sex? Wouldn't I miss having touching relations with people? Wouldn't I miss all of those things? Wouldn't I miss that, God? Why would you miss something that you are? You mean, I would have a touching relationship with other people? No. You are the relationship. You would not have You are the relationship. You are the thought of the relationship. You are the expression of it. You are the relationship beginning to end. You are the relationship not as it is evolving, not as it is expressing itself, but you are the relationship in its totality and its completion, and it is over with and done with right now. Oh, okay. If that's what I am, then it sounds like I'm not getting involved in being a human being. That's right. That's right, Herb. You're not getting involved in being a human being. Well, God, if I'm not getting involved in being a human being, why do I bother being a human being at all? Well, I often ask that question too, but that's a choice that everyone has to make if they wish and do if they wish. Now, you don't have to be a human being. You don't have to be a divine being. You don't have to be anything at all. You can just be is. And as you're is, you are all, and you are not aware of your allness. You are your allness. You are not touched by your allness or any part of it. You are your allness, but you are the allness. Well, that sounds very intense and very big and very, very not much fun. True. You're very right, Herb. It is not much fun. It is not much fun from what you call fun. I tell people, my creation, be yourself and have fun. And if they think of themselves as a human being, having fun is a bottle of beer. Having fun is playing games with other people. Having fun is your relationships. But if you are God, and you are thinking from your God nature, and you are living in your God presence, having fun is a totally different thought, a totally different system of action. When the divine has fun, what is happening is all is in absolute harmony, right action, and peace. When the divine has fun, everything functions exactly as the divine thinks and as the divine speaks its word and the divine lives its thought and lives what it is instantly. There's no time lapse. There's no waiting for it to happen. And there's no thinking that maybe it'll happen. It already is. It is done. But the divine knows that it's done. And that is what makes it happy. Now, the happiness is short-lived. The happiness that I, as God, have over having things be completed on my spiritual awareness level, it's very short-lived. And the reason it's short-lived is because I am doing it with a zillion, billion, trillion, million things all at the same time. And the fleeting moment that I feel happy or feel aware that something is being done, that fleeting moment is a now moment, but it's a fleeting moment. And I'm on into other fleeting moments more quickly almost than the fleeting moment I walked into, and I'm out of it and into others. There is no relativity to it. There's no change. All my fleeting moments are eternal moments. They remain forever. They remain totally perfect and totally good and totally wonderful and totally revealing. It's exciting. And it's so exciting because of one thing. I am being myself and having fun. When a race car driver drives his car at wonderful speeds, and he reaches the top limit of his speed, and he is able to push his car 1 mile per hour beyond the limit that he had ever done before, that 1 mile per hour, that one instant that he reaches that new level of awareness in driving, that he remembers for a good long time. And that race car driver lives in that instant present now for a long time and enjoys it thoroughly and feels that that's a tremendous accomplishment. Wow, great, oh, wow, wow, wow. But in infinity, that long moment of consciousness, that moment when it reaches that level as a race car driver might, it is as quickly gone, and in its place are all of the other possibilities revealing themselves in the life of any individual, any being, any God. That's where you are. That's where I am. Living in the now. Living in this experience that we are. Oh, we get mixed up in talking about relative and absolute. We get mixed up and we're talking 1 minute relative, and then we go into the absolute idea and we try to bring the relative concept into the absolute idea, and it doesn't fit. It doesn't belong. It does not work. And so we have to cross it out, leave it out, and we'll only work in absolute. And when we only work in absolute, we feel at first there's something missing. And then when we really wake up to the fact that we are absolute, we find that we have more than ever could have been thought was missing, because we are living on such a beautiful high level of intuitiveness. You know, we do live a strange and delightful life. We do live what we might call a dual existence, the existence of being human and the existence of being divine. But we don't really live a dual existence, because we are always aware of who we are and what we are in our divinity. And in the relative world, we haven't awakened yet to the fact that we are divine and that we do all things in our divinity now, even though we think that we're not doing them. We think that we can only do one thing at a time. We can only dream one dream at a time and issue commands on one level of consciousness at a time. We think we can only do those things. Well, you see, the divine covers it all. I, as God, have those experiences all the time, and I feel so fulfilled and so complete and so rewarded in everything that I do. And, of course, those words almost sound human. And if you, as a human being, are hearing me say them, you equate them to human experiences. But if you, as a divine being, are hearing me saying those things, you think of on an entirely different area of consciousness, entirely different area of, or attitude of being. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun being God. And Herb, it's kind of fun being you too. You find it fun to be me, God? Why do you find it fun to be me? Because when I am you, I am pretending I don't know my allness. And when I don't know my allness, I play on the relative level, and I think that's great. But because I am God, and because you are God, as I play on the relative level, there is no time, so I cannot say an instant, but there is no time, and I play on the relative level, I am spontaneously, that might be a good word for it, spontaneously aware of my infinite level and my spontaneous awareness of my being on the relative level is instantly gone, as though it were never there, and truly, it was never there. Gosh, God, talking to you is quite an experience. I feel like I've just gone through the ringer. What do you mean by that, Herb? Well, we talk of these things that are so powerful and so meaningful. We talk of the two levels of being, and we say they're important and they're wonderful. Herb, I, as God, can never talk on two levels of being, even though it appears I do. I am not speaking on two levels of being. I, as God, am always absolute. I, as God, am always complete and whole and perfect. And anything other than my nature is something that passes away. Anything that is other than the totality of my nature expressing in everything that it is ceases to be what it is and is me. And the relative world, as the illusion it is, remains an illusion and is not an illusion in an ascended consciousness. The relative illusion is not an illusion in the ascended consciousness. The relative illusion is a relative illusion only for people who claim that they are human beings on the relative level. It's a choice we can all make, and we can play the game that we'll never grow up. I don't want to ever grow up, Peter Pan tells his friends. I want to always remain a little boy. I want to always remain young. No matter what, I want to remain young. Why? Because in that youth was no responsibility. In that youth was playtime, all the time playtime. In that youth was being with other children who also had nothing more to do than to play. Oh, they played good games and dumb games and happy games and some games that just were not the full benefit to them, but they played them. And you do that too. You do that too. And then you wake up, you have an illumination, and you say, oh, wow, I must move my thinking into this other level. And when you move your thinking into the other level, what you're doing is you are awakening to the divine that you are. Now, why would I as God, or why would I as God allow there to be in my creation, and my creation is anywhere in the world, anywhere in experience, why should I allow my creation to think that it is something that it is not? Why should I allow my creation to think that it is relative and it is not? Why should I do that? And I must answer that for you. I answer that for you because it's like a game that I play. I know that all is perfect and all is good and all is right. I know that all is magnificent. I know that all is wonderful. I know that there's nothing to improve. I know that. And as I know that, what do? I live that. And I'm God living that. But then I come to the situation where I create beings. And I say these beings are wonderful and good. And I say these beings have freedom of choice. I am their creator, but I say they have freedom of choice. And when I play the game that my creation has freedom of choice, then I'm allowing them to be human. I'm allowing them to do all of these things. Why would I, as God, allow my creation to be less than I am when all that allows them to be less than what I am is when I do not make myself known to them in my allness? And again, I make myself known to them in my allness, and if they do not want to take it, they have the privilege of pretending it does not exist. Oh God, what a tough experience that must be for you. No, not that it's so tough an experience for me. It's an experience that says to me, why do I allow them to play the game that they don't know? Why do I allow that? Why do I put that in my consciousness? Why do I have that in me as God? Why do I do that? And then, what do you answer yourself, God? You know all the answers. What do you answer yourself? Well, let's put it this way, Herb. I don't allow people to have freedom of choice. I don't allow those. Those things are, if they're anything at all, they're an illusion that is gone as quickly as it comes. But they are all an illusion. They're an illusion that comes on a wind. But they're an illusion that does not remain. But God, why are they in your universe at all, when you're perfect and you're ideal and you're wonderful? Why do those things happen at all? Well, I let them happen. But God, that's so stupid. You're calling God stupid? Well, yeah. You're calling God stupid? Yeah. Only a relative human could do that. Only a relative human could call the infinite creative cause stupid. Now, why do you call it stupid, Herb? What makes you think that my allowing creation to be whatever kind of creation it wants to be, that's stupid, it's not beneficial? Why do you say that? Well, I say that because of this, God. If I were really God, well, Herb, you are really God. But if I, well, anyhow, I think of you, God, a little different from me. That's silly of you to do that, but that's your privilege. Ah, so, I have the privilege to think of myself separate from you. Oh, yes. I have the privilege of thinking of myself as my own judge and jury and my own final decision. Oh, yes, and you do that all the time. And then I have to ask God, why do you let me do that? Why do you let a child make a mistake? Why do you let people do things that are not beneficial to them? Why, God, why? Well, Herb, I do those things because I guess that's the game I play. That's the way I do it. Now, let me make this statement to you. There are many universes, many worlds, in which all humanity and all creation live. And there are universes where humanity lives, which are absolutely one-pointed and allow for no dissension, no change, no discussion, all absolutely one-pointed. Now, there are many of them, many. And in these many universes that are all absolutely one-pointed, there is no room for anyone to have a separate opinion. There's no room for anyone to think that there is a relative world, because in that creation there is no relative world. There's no room for any error or any problem or anything leaving the God awareness, the God presence. And because there is no place to go, and because there's nothing to do, only the absolute quality of God is expressed there. You mean there is such a place like that, God? I'd love to go there. How can I go there? Can I be there? Can I be in that place? Yes, you can, Herb. You are in that place many times. But you tend to want to wander back to that game that I allow you to play, to pretend that you are not God, to pretend that you are not the fulfillment of all that is good and beautiful, to pretend that. And as long as you want to pretend it, then that will be your experience. As long as you want to pretend it, That will be who you are. Why anyone would want to pretend that they were not the allness of the universe? Why anyone would want to pretend that they were not the son of the wealthy man, like J. Paul Getty's son, grandson? He wanted to hitchhike around the world and pretend that he wasn't J. Paul Getty's grandson, and he wanted to meet people and live on the level of people living. Well, he could never do it, because his upbringing, his nature, his mannerisms, who he knew he was, would not allow him to pretend that he was a poor man, or that he lacked in wisdom and lacked in genius and lacked in education. He had all those things. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And the final death knell to his trip around the world as a pauper was the fact that he carried his credit card with him. And so wherever he went, he used his credit card when it was necessary to pull himself out of a hole. You see, we can always return to our original purity and integrity. We can always return to our God self. We can always return to the wealth of our own inner being if we choose. And in the process, we reclaim as the prodigal son, coming back to his father after having spent all the money which was in his inheritance. And he was willing to take the servant's place in his father's kingdom. And his father said, "No, you are the prodigal son who has come home. All that I have is yours." "But Dad, I've already spent my portion." "No, you didn't. You spent some money. And your portion is never ending, because it never began. Your portion always is. You are not the prodigal son. You are the master." And so greeted his father this young man who had gone out in the world and squandered what he had. But he woke up to the fact that he was always a J. Paul Getty grandson. He woke up to the fact that he always lived in the abundance which was his reality. He woke up to the fact that he had an attitude, he had a way of thinking about things, he had a mannerism that made him who and what he was. He had a charisma that told the world, this is no simple person, this is a magnificent being. This is something utterly spectacular. This is something beyond anything we have ever known. And when we come to that awareness, that realization ourselves, then we have come into the awareness of something so great and so beautiful and so revealing that we never want to leave it again. Like the prodigal son, he said, "I'll never leave home again until the next time." He'll never leave home again until he feels like playing some games. And he feels, "I'm a rich man, I can go play the games." And when he wants to play the games, while he's gone playing the games, he feels he's right. But when he finds out that the world will not accept him, he is the genuine article, and the world is something that is ever passing, ever fluctuating, ever pretending it is something that it is not. Can you and I pretend we're something we are not? Yes. Do we? Yes. Is it our Creator's fault for creating us with the ability to think these things? No. Not at all. "All that I have given unto you," says our Creator to us. And if you use it one way or another way, the choice is always yours. But if you use it and know it came from you, it's part of your inheritance, part of your reality, it's part of who you are. Then you will always spend your money wisely. You'll always use your inheritance wisely. You'll always live your life from the highest and the very best. And living your life from the highest and the very best reveals to you who you are and why it's so much fun. Oh, yes. We try to say, you can't talk to God. Well, we're doing it all the time. We're talking to God, and we're sharing with God, and we're telling God who we are and what we are. We're doing all the things that we can to placate ourselves with God and make God love us again. Make God feel good about us. And then, the minute a game comes along, a minute opportunity for sex comes along, or for alcohol, or for anything else which sort of dulls our senses, anything else which makes us feel that is fun, and we participate in it, then we start out at space one again. We start out at the beginning. And as we start out at the beginning, we find that the beginning now is such a long, long way than where it was before we let go and lived in this human way. And we're silly, aren't we? We're silly, but that's okay. You can talk to God about it. God won't laugh at you. God won't tell you you're silly. God won't tell you you're stupid. God will just say to you, what wouldst thou of me? What would you like from yourself? What would you like out of your world? What would you like to know, to be, and to do? What would you like? And you turn to your Father, you turn to your abundance, you turn to God. And you say, God, I am ready to come home now. I am ready to be one in and as all that you are. I am ready. Will you take me? And, of course, the Father says yes. And he doesn't say, put aside childish things. He only says to you, come, follow me. Come. The things that I do, you will do, and greater things than these shall you do. Come, follow me. Let me be your role model. And so we step into that divine within, and we let God be our role model. And as we let God be our role model, all the other things that seemed important lose their importance, and we take on a different direction. We take on a different program, a different life. And as we take on a different program and a different life, we find everything is so spectacular, so unbelievable, so rewarding, and so very, very good. Yes, I have conversations with God quite often, and I delight in them. I have conversations with God in which I don't say a word, but God is revealing and talking to me in such fantastic manners that I just feel uplifted. I feel 100 feet tall. I can handle anything. You are in that same level. You are in that same possibility. You are in that same condition of being one as in through about God. Let this be your choice to walk your way. Let it be your desire to walk that way. You can talk to God any way you want, and God makes no judgment of your manner. And when you talk to God any way you want, then you let the infinite wisdom, the infinite allness, all be done wonderfully, perfectly, and now. Now abide for a while here and have your personal conversation with God. Say these things in your heart and in your mind, and let God in you share with you the magic that you already are, but you may not be aware of it. And let go and let God talk to you. Let God share with you. Let God reveal to you what you may not have seen. And just say, with all your heart, and so it is.